Monte Cristo in Nashville. You are listening to The Smoking Section.
We are here with a buddy of mine, a good friend of mine. She came to Old Smoky, Six and Peabody, and we gave her a bunch of hats.
You did.
And then I think she wore it on a red carpet at one point, I believe.
I have been wearing them everywhere. I'm obsessed. I wear them on the golf course. I wear them for shows, everywhere.
Listen, you come back and you get some more hats if you want some more.
Deal. Deal.
We have the one and only Lily Rose here. How are you?
Dude.
How are you doing?
Man, it's so good to see you. Finally get chatting, you know, on the podcast and everything.
I know. It only took me 2 years, you know. No, you've been busy, you know.
Hey, so have you. You've been hustling.
You got to in this town.
Have to.
You got to. You've been on a road with Sam Hutt. How is that bit?
Oh, man. It's been a dream come true. You know, I moved to Nashville and not L.A. because of Sam and his music. And that Between the Pines mixtape to, you know, his recent release has just been such a guiding light for me with using hip-hop and R&B beats and country music and stayed true to myself. So he's such an incredible leader and friend. And, you know, I learned so much from him these last 2 years. So sad it's over.
I know, right? I told you one of my best friend works for him in some capacity, and she raves about Lily Rose all the time.
Man, there were a lot of tears that last night of tour on both camps, from both sides of both camps, and they're like family to us now. So we miss them already.
Good Lord. All right, let's get into this. Let's get into Running Out of Time, which is coming out and will be available May 10th. I got to listen to it, and this seems like this is an autobiography.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a lot of it, actually. A lot of it. I keep telling everybody, I'm like, I don't know if I could ever write anything more autobiographical than, you know, a couple of the songs on the record, so, or on the EP, but all six of them are just so honest and true to where I am and where I've been the last 12 months.
I get it. My favorite song on it is The Two Flowers.
Thank you.
That's my favorite song. And I'm just wondering, why did you, what came into picking Parking Lot and True North, not knocking those songs, but over releasing Two Flowers first?
Yeah, you know, it had been so long since we've released music. It's been almost 2 years. And I am super hopeful that we'll go, you know, with a single to country radio here soon. But those two songs kind of embody the energy that I think that I bring, not only live on stage, but just kind of what I want my music to sound like. And it is kind of atypical for me that we have The Goal, Back Pew, and Two Flowers, all pretty ballad, low tempo, low vibe songs. So it felt right to lead with energy first and some autobiography storytelling to come with the package.
Yeah. Two Flowers. When I heard the line, she named me after two flowers, and I'm like, oh, let me rewind that and let's start this song all over so I can actually pay attention.
I know. It's I rarely get like super emotional in the writing room, but it was hard not to well up. Blake Pendergrass, one of the best songwriters in town and a dear friend, he had that whole chorus ready for me when I walked into the writing room with him and Paul DiGiovanni, and it was hard not to well up and be emotional through the whole entire thing, just talking about, you know, I am a little wild and I, you know, accepting that about myself. But it's like my mom had this crystal ball. She knew that I was going to choose a crazy profession and that I was going to be exactly who I am. So the whole song is just so special, and it's a rite that I'll never forget and a song that I'll never get sick of singing.
I think it's going to be your breakout song, to be quite honest.
Thanks, man.
Your second breakout song. Let's go back, because I was there when a certain station started playing Villains. So what's different now from the Lily Rose that released Villains to the Lily Rose that's releasing Running Out of Time?
Yeah, I mean, a lot, but a lot of it's the same. You know, I think that I've just had a couple more years under my belt in life, definitely more years under my belt in the music industry and being present on Music Row and being a label artist. But I think the main thing is just who I've been collaborating with. I still write with all of my old songwriting friends from Villain and everything, you know, Matt Morrissey, Mackenzie Carpenter, Lauren Hungate. They're all setting fires, and I've now found a new group that's kind of intertwined with them that is just helps the authenticity flourish and just continuing to write songs that feel super honest to me, stories that are very personal that I hope can help other people. And I just think that the music is going to get better over the years, but it was pretty damn good in 2022. So I'm so proud. I've lived a lot of life, been on tour. So I think I just also have more of a sense of what's going to work live, you know, what's going to work when we're the 30-minute opener for the opener, what's going to work when we're the headliner. And just wisdom, I guess, is the only thing that I've gained.
Hey, wisdom is very powerful.
It is. And it feels like I actually have it for the first time. And, you know, this job is not easy, and it's, you're out of your house a lot. You're on the road, you're grinding. And just everything I've ever been through is in these six songs, and it's just an embodiment of who I am. So I'm excited about that.
Now, I had a conversation about you on a podcast, actually, on another podcast. Someone asked me about you.
Oh, yes.
And they were like, oh, she's bringing up, like, she's like blowing up. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you know the difference between her and a lot of other people? And I'm like, and he's like, what? I'm like, honest to God, I think she has a cult following, but like, you're bringing the gay community over to country music.
Yeah.
It's not just like, you don't just have the country music following that, you know, the normal country music following that people give you when you become a country music artist. You're bringing another community into this, which is got, and that's what we call it, the Beyonce effect.
Yeah, right. As a thing. And you want to know what? You want to know the cool thing is, I actually do think that Beyonce is bringing people into country music. My fans, they've been in country music. They just never felt seen.
Correct.
They've, you know, so it's, I hope that, you know, I do have that pop element, and I hope that I have the ability, the way Wall and Sam Hunt, all of them can bring not country fans into the genre. But for me and my super core fan base, they've been here. They just have never felt seen before, which is really cool.
So have you had any problems in the industry that, you know, that was caused by you being openly gay?
No, man, I've never had issues. I always tell people, I'm like, when I moved to Nashville, this is the most accepting town I've ever lived in, between Atlanta, Athens, and here. Because, I mean, this is an industry town.
Yeah.
This is an entertainment town, and people don't give a damn here. Do I think over the course of my life, and maybe even here in Nashville, there have been opportunities that I would call it more of an omission rather than a no?
Yeah.
Of like, maybe it's just kind of like, yeah, of course. Like, that's definitely been a thing, that it's easier to choose somebody that might look or sound like everybody else. But I've always kind of had that thing deep down in me that's like, being different's gonna win. And you can't sell out stadiums without being different. So kind of trying to believe in that while also, trying to be a representation of people that look a little different in country.
So we're going to go back to, we've already talked about this. We're going to talk about this, this new EP. What was your creative mindset? Because you talk about how you went into Two Flowers and the song's already brought to you. Like, the chorus is already pretty much written for you.
Yeah.
So what was your, break it down for me on your mindset, your creative mindset going into this? Like, it wasn't just, you know, you had to write the best songs possible. Like, I feel like you had to really go into the zone and really go and be very vulnerable for this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, back to the wisdom thing, I think right after Villain, anyone that has a massive viral hit like that, there's so much pressure on what the follow-up is going to be. And I tried for so long while simultaneously speed dating on Music Row. I didn't have a publishing deal. So I was like speed dating with songwriters, trying to find who my people are to tack on with my old crew. And doing that and not writing, you know, with writing with different people every day, on top of trying to write a follow-up hit, that's a recipe for not authentic music right there. And for me, within the last 12 months, I've found my, 30, 40 songwriters that it just clicks and it works when we're in the room together, while also taking a huge leap and trying to write the most specific, honest, and authentic songs that I can. And, Seth England, the CEO over at Big Loud, he's been pushing me to try to do that songwriting wise for about 2.5 years. And I never understood it until I really zoomed out and was like, I'm in the 0.001% of Morgan Wallen listeners, and I connect with all of his songs. And I've never been, I'm not from East Tennessee, I'm not a Tennessee fan, and all these very specific things he puts in there, it just makes you connect and feel like you're at, you think about your home. So I tried to do that for the first time, and I think it worked. And that's why I think so much of this music is really feeling like the most authentic Lily, is because I took his advice and we ran with it.
What's been the greatest advice someone has given you?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. I mean,
because I have a shit ton.
Right. No, this is going to sound like super cheesy, but like when you hear it, it's like, yeah, that's very like Lily. It's kind of a mission statement. Katy Perry put out that documentary in 2011, and I was obsessed with it, and I found so much inspiration in it. But she said, you have to be you because everybody else is taken. And I've always kind of stuck with that. And we see a lot of carbon copies here in the music industry of trying to be the next Morgan Wallen and trying to be the next Lainey Wilson or whatever it is. And it's like, man, everybody else is taken. So I gotta make sure I'm sticking true to myself.
So that's you stay true to yourself. You married your best friend.
Yeah, I did. She's the best.
Dara, I love Dara. Dara is the best. Take us back to the day you proposed.
Oh, man. That was the best day of my life. I mean, our wedding day was great, but entering that chapter was amazing. And actually, Lexi, who's my publicist, her boyfriend helped shut down the street, her now fiance, with my bass player, Bud. They shut down the street that Dara and I used to walk down from our old apartment to our favorite bar, Mother's Ruin in Germantown. And they both had on like fake construction vests and like shut down the street so cars wouldn't come by so I could propose on that street. And it was real special. She had no idea it was coming, and surprised her also with all of her family and our family and best friends upstairs at Mother's Ruin, which is our bar. So it was the best day ever, seriously.
And the wedding? So you said the wedding was the second best day. Why is the wedding the second best day? And
it's kind of like a 1A, 1B kind of like best days ever. But I just felt this really big shift when there was like actually a ring and like, oh my gosh, like we're promising forever to each other, not just like dating anymore or moving in together or whatever that was. So I think there was like, when we got married, it was like, holy shit, this is the best day ever. But I didn't feel a whole lot different than I did before we said I do, kind of thing, like the weight was already there, but getting engaged is like, oh my gosh, that's the next step right there, which is awesome.
Have you learned, because you guys were living together beforehand, so it's like, yep. It's always one of those where it's like, you don't know anyone until you live with them. Like, has anything about her or even about you changed about each other? Have you noticed since you've been married?
Honestly, since we've been married, it's just been this like tornado of touring and recording music. And it's just been, I'm not gonna lie, the first year of our marriage was like a lot of the Lily show, just because we had immediately the Diplo song, and then we went on tour with Sam Hunt. And it was 12 months of her making a lot of sacrifices to be with me and also chase her career and all of that. So it's been go, 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 but we've learned a lot about each other and how to, get through hard seasons and fun seasons. So I wouldn't say a lot's changed. We just, keep learning. Knowledge is power.
Well, that's the truth. So you're getting ready to do, the day before you release, you're getting ready to take us through the idea of you doing an immersive live immersive experience. So what's the idea behind that?
Sure. I've believe it or not, always been somebody that doesn't want to do what other people are doing. And I just had this like feeling where I was like, I don't want to do just another release party or like a Nashville show. Like those can kind of feel a little oversaturated in town. I want to make a splash. I want to do something different. And it kind of went hand in hand with Cannery Hall just revamped their whole entire situation over there, their whole building. And they offered a tour for us a couple weeks ago, and it was so cool in there. And they've got like a couple elements. They've got a really big video board behind and stuff that for an artist at my level probably couldn't afford to do that. But when it comes with the venue, I was like, let's do this and let's make it just a one night only one of a kind show that we'll never do again. So we're going to do that. It's going to be awesome.
Can you give me some sneak peek ideas of what you got going on?
Can't, bro. I can't. I mean, it's just like, it won't be the usual Lily Rose show. That's for sure.
Lily Rose shows. What's your favorite? Where's your favorite place to perform?
Columbus, Ohio, by a landslide.
Why was that so quick to answer?
Because we've played there so many times, and we've done the 600 cap room, the 1500 cap room, the arenas. We've done it, and we've done every single thing, and their fans are wild every time. Whether we're the opener, whether we're the headliner, it is just crazy. They're the best fans.
Really?
Columbus, Ohio. They just I keep waiting for them to disappoint me, and they just keep getting better.
I would not expect that. I was like expecting some Georgia city.
No, Georgia's always the most special, you know, Atlanta and Athens, but Columbus, bro, they ain't got nothing to do up there, so they're just ready. They say it whenever I tell them I'm in the meet and greet lines or VIP or whatever. I'm like, you guys are the best fans. They're like, what else do we have to do? We just love live music. I'm like, hell yeah. Killer. Midwest, baby.
Good Lord. Wow. I was definitely not expecting that answer.
Right.
So you were a sports fan. Big time.
Raging. Yep.
So I'm going to deem you a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Yes.
Here's why. Here's why. This is my theory. Because if I look back at it, the last couple of years, the Eagles have drafted the most Georgia Bulldogs players.
Philadelphia Dogs, baby. That defense is wild. Dude, I cannot say that I'm an Eagles fan, but if the Eagles are playing in the playoffs against the team that I dislike more, I'll always cheer on my dogs, man. Uh-huh. Always.
I love the videos of you watching the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also love the videos of you being really hungover.
Yeah, beer before 10, dogs win, you know? I'm a firm believer in it's really not Kirby's recruiting or coaching or discipline. It's what's the thing called where it's superstition that my buddies and I have created that if we don't have a beer before 10 o'clock, the dogs will not win.
I may have to start doing that for the Eagles.
I'm not going to lie. It works. We are back-to-back natty champs. Oh, just kidding. Shout out, Kirby.
All right. So you've been on tour with Sam Hunt. We just talked about that. You've been on tour with Shania Twain. You've been on tour with Luke Bryan. Here's my question. And don't give me the PC answer. Don't give me the PC. And who was your favorite person to open it for?
Oh, God. They all have... Okay. I've only done Crash My Playa with Luke. We haven't toured with him yet, so he's kicked out. But I'm very excited to have some beers with that man. It is truly so hard to, you know, choose between the two. Shania is an icon. She's a pop and country icon. Like, not an A-lister in country, whatever. Icon. So that was a fever dream and a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So it's hard not to say her. But Sam Hunt's the reason why I moved to Nashville, and he's my biggest inspiration in country music. And that right there was... It was a dream come true, like an actual dream come true.
It was a full circle moment for you.
It really was. And getting to sing with him every night, it's just, it's one of those things where if you had told 2014 Lily or even 2020 Lily, like, hey, you're not going to be working in that mall, or you're not going to be serving those tables, or, you know, customer service phone lines. You're going to be on tour with Sam Hunt for 2 years. I would have been like, no chance. I believe that I could be, but not for 2 years. And to play 50 plus shows with him and him to take us under his wing the way he did, it's one of the greatest things that will ever happen in my career.
So now who is the next? Like, so every, because you have like, you know, you have your ceiling. Your ceiling now, your ceiling was Sam Hunt.
Yeah.
That ceiling.
Yeah, in country, it's Sam Hunt for sure.
It's Sam Hunt. You broke that ceiling. So now who is the next ceiling?
Man, it is such a tie. It's really between three, because like all three, I don't know if I could choose one, but it's Taylor, Ed, or Katy Perry. One of those three. I'm manifesting it. As the genres are blending, and you know, you don't have to have people that are identical to your sound opening up for you. Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, or Katy Perry would just be one of the most insane things. They're such influences for me. And
I've never seen Katy Perry on a tour or in concert, but when you do get to open for her, I will be.
you should go. That girl, her voice is just immaculate. She puts on a hell of a production and show. So even if I'm not, you should go see her.
That's crazy. Those are the three of the biggest stars in all genres. You know,
absolutely. Yeah, no, tangibly though, Keith Urban is definitely at the top of my list in country right now. Like something that's realistic and we can get pitched for is Keith.
I mean, you can also get pitched for Keith. You can also get pitched for Katy Perry.
Fingers.
just make the phone call to Luke and then have Luke pitcher to you, you know?
I know, right? Dude. Yeah, that'd be nuts. That'd be nuts.
It's easy. You know, just call it. Make a few phones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's usually how it works, too.
It works anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I got one final question for you, and this is coming from your song, The Goal.
Yeah.
The lyric in it is called, it says, it took waking up in the core life crisis to be fit to figure out what the point of life is.
Yep.
What is your point of life?
I truly have always said this. It's not blowing smoke. I think accolades are amazing. I think number one songs and plaques on the wall and awards are just like what we all strive for within a career, whatever it is. But I've always said, I just want my headstone to say good daughter, good sister, good wife, good friend, good person. And that to me is the point of life. Is I think every decision is pretty binary. It's either you choose light or you choose darkness with everything you decide to do. And I think the point of life is choosing light.
Wow. There you have it. There you have it. There you have it. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Dude, I love you.
I love you. I love Dara. Thank you so much. This has been Lily Rose.
Dude, let's go. Love you, bro.
Oh.
From Casa de Monte Cristo in Nashville, you are listening to The Smoking Section.